Okay, Ramosa. Okay. And we're up to, we're in the middle of Siman Sadi Dalet Seif Hey. Right? Kedera Shabishlu Bayirakos. Oh, my. V'tachu Bakach Ben Yomo V'akdira Ina Bas Yomo. Oh, Lehefech. This happens, by the way, all the time. The first half, this also happens all the time. You have a pirate pot and you stick in a fleishik spoon or milking spoon, or vice versa. You know, a milk or a fleishik pot and you stick in a pirate spoon. And then we learn what happened, right? We pass like the shach that if you stick in a fleishik spoon once, you shouldn't make a milking from that on. Now, here is a more common case. A pirate pot, you stick in a milking spoon. A milking spot, the pot, you stick in a fleishik spoon. We don't have to continue mentioning both those possibilities, obviously. They're just mirror images of each other. What happens? So here I'm going to, let's just give us some background information. What do we see from Siman Sadi Hey Seif Gimel? I hope I'm not wrong, but it's Seif Gimel. Okay. This is all when you're cooking parv or water, right? We're not talking about cooking meat and milk. Cooking meat and milk, we already discussed a million times. What if you stick a fleishik spoon into milk, or a milchik spoon into meat, or cook milk in a fleishik pot, or meat in a milchik pot? That's what we've been discussing until now. Now we're discussing cooking parv. The first half of this sif is cooking parv, and the spoon in the pot, one is parv, and one is milk. Fleishik here, one is milk, one is fleishik. So here you have, let's just say for the sake of argument, right? Here you have your fleishik pot. And here you have your milking spoon. And here you have your hard food. Okay. Chalavi pot. That's a pot. And bisari, the chalavi spoon, bisari pot. Fine. So if they're both ben yomo, this will be a machlokas between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. But for Ashkenazim, what if the spoon is ben yomo, and the kaf is ben yomo, and the kedera is bas yomo, which is not what's discussed here. What's the halacha? The halacha is that for Ashkenazim at least, says the Rambam, it's all treif. Why is it all treif? What's the principle of Rama? Here I'm going to just tell you the mainstream explanation that we paskin like there. Because this is the para food is not barnat de'isura, right? Because the soup is not barnat de'isura. What do I mean by not barnat de'isura? Let's just review. We had the milk that you cooked earlier today went into the calf. The meat that you cooked earlier today. All right. It'd be very hard to track the right color for everything. Not quite sure it's all that important. But the meat went into the kedera. Both of these went into the parv soup. And what do you have here? Here is the first taste. Here is the second taste. And the second taste is Isser, because it's Basar B'Chalav. Right? This is not Barnat. But it's not Barnat D'Yisura, because it's Basar B'Chalav. And not Barnat D'Yisura is also the Heter, not Barnat, only applies to Heter, not to Isser. Not Barnat D'Yisura is Usser. I'll prove to you, not Barnat D'Yisura is Usser. Because if I cook ham in a pot, and then I cook vegetable soup in that pot, the vegetable soup is treif, even though it's ham to pot is one step, pot to vegetable soup is a second step, because not Barnat D'Yisura is Usser. Okay, that is, the Mechaber doesn't agree, but we're in the Ramah now. That's what the Ramah says in Tzadi Hesef Gimel. Okay, you can already envision for yourself why the Mechaber might not agree. Mechaber would say, don't look at it as like one thing. Look at it as two separate lines. Milk to kaf to soup is not barnat to tera. Meat to kedera to soup is not barnat to tera. He views it differently, but we're Ashkenazim, so we are pasling through Rama. What happens in this case? What else does Satan say to Hegel? What if it's the exact same case, but the kaf is ben yomo and the kadira is ena bas yoma, or vice versa, right? What about that case? Then let's think what happens here. Meat. Well, okay. I'm cheating a little. Okay. I'm cheating a little here. So the case in Sadi Hay was not a spoon stuck into a pot. It was a case of washing a dish in a big pot. But it's very simple, right? So meat goes into kedera, goes into the par of soup. What happens to the taste of the meat in this par of soup? Does it make it meat or doesn't it? And why? Why is the soup not affected by the meat taste? Because ain't a ben yomo, and what do we call a taste from a kli that's ain't a ben yomo? No saying? Tam lefgam, and no sin tam lefgam has no halachic effect. So this is, right here, is no saying tam lefgam. Now we have the taste from the milk to the kaf to the soup. Now hold on a second. Is there any chance of this soup being milk and fleshic? No, because the meat taste is tam lefgam, so the meat taste doesn't count. So now it's just a milk taste. If it's just a milk taste, then that is ain not bar not tehetera. That's a not bar not tehetera. So it's a not bar not tehetera. So this soup, it got a tam lefgam of meat, and now it only has a shayla with tam of milk. The tam of milk is not bar not tehetera. How could it be not bar not tehetera? It's only milk. There's no meat taste, or there's no halachically significant meat taste. And therefore, what's the halacha? The halacha is that, again, a little. I'll pee, because Sadi Heis of Gimel was not a case of stirring with a spoon. It was a case of washing a spoon in a big dishwashing basin in boiling water, you know, which is equivalent, but not exactly the same. So therefore, what's the halacha? The halacha is that everything is mutter. Why? Because the soup is perfectly kosher, because it has tam lefgam of meat and not bernat a tear of milk. So the soup is parv. The soup is parv, obviously the spoon is fine. And the pot is fine, because the soup is just parv and neutral. Right, that's the halacha we see later on. And that is the ikra din here as well. This is the ikra din. The only thing is, because we remember that the Ramah has a shita that I mentioned earlier, that in not bar not, when you cook something and make it not bar not, lechatchila you treat it as a taste. So everything is mutter, but normal rule of not bar not for Ashkenazim, but lechatchila treat the soup as milchik, obviously. You know, whatever the scenario is, you'll just switch milchik, fleishik, whatever it is. Treat the soup as milchik. And what does that mean? If we know in Sadi Hei Beis, let's just add Sadi Hei Beis. What does that mean? That means don't eat soup with meat, because you treat it as milchik, but you can eat soup in a meat bowl. Because it's just a chumra not to treat as melchik. We just wouldn't mix it with meat. It's okay to eat in a meat bowl. You know, we're only machmir to mamish not put it with meat. Okay, this is all accepted halacha, and this is ikra din for Ashkenazim. All of a sudden here, says the Ramah, what does the Ramah say? He starts at the same thing. Today, or shibish l'bay yirok, so mayim v'tachbo kaf ben yom, v'akadira ein v'as yom, o lehefech. Oh, shish machal shishim. Or there's shishim. What's the case of shishim? Let's just deal with the case of shishim here for a second. What if the kaf is ben yomo, but Yesh Bitam Shil Shisha. That's a sound. 60 times. And the Kedera is Bas Yoma. Now what happens? Let's start with the Kaf. You have milk to Kaf to soup. But does the milk taste affect the soup? No, because it's possible with shishim. I mean, a bit of shishim usually ends up being around the same as a bit yomo, right? So it's bit of shishim. Now that the milk is bit of shishim, you know the rest of the routine. Meat to the kedera to the soup is not barnat de hetera, because since there's no milk taste, it's only shalom meat taste. It's only shalom meat taste. It's not bernat de tera. So therefore, these are all totally mutter. Everything mutter. Okay. Ezra. The nugget, but there's a minhag. Okay, is this really our minhag or not? The shach suggests maybe it's only minhag in some places. Not every place, but most of the posts assume that this is our minhag as well. The nugget, lahachmir, lechol, amachol, kemin haklishu ben yomo, to eat the food like the type, the gender, let's call it, of the Kliya's ben yomo, the lesser Kliya, and to ask for the Kliya ain't a ben yomo. It's only a chumar b'yalma, because we already explained why everything's mutter. But our minugs have this chumar b'yalma. What does it mean, it's a chumar b'yalma? Chumar b'yalma means, like, we can be mekel, you know, if it's a shasat chak, if there are other, it's not a mohakel, etc. But all else being equal, we keep this chumar b'yalma, right? That's if they chumar b'yalma in the din. But as a chumar b'yalma, Ashkenazim have this minhag that what happens in this case, right? So says the Taz in the beginning, so in Ches, if you have with the Hagos, the Taz added later, says, Nogin lahachmer zeh koya ain shisha neged a kaf. That's if there's not shisha neged a kaf. And the Shach in the Yud Zayin says, koya chaluk rishon of lo koya yish machol shisha. That, okay, there's a big deal in the later Achronin. If the kaf is less than a 60th, do we not have any of the chumras, or do we just have part of the chumras, not part of the chumras? Okay, if it's a chumra v'yalma, nearer that, one could be nekel on a safek, how far do you think it's minug? Over here, what will the Shach and Taz say? There's no minhag. Right? Just keep it on Ikra Din. But in this case, there is a minhag. What is the minhag in this case? There are two parts to the minhag. A, first part of the minhag, is, 1 second. Okay. A minhag is that you eat the soup, ochlin hamachal kimin hakli shehu ben yomo. Meaning, you eat the food in this case as milchik. Here it gets a little tricky because, says the Shach, and the Taz seems to apply the same thing. He says, hold on a second, that doesn't make any sense. Because we already know that, that's what our Ramah says here, that's what our Gerson, the Ramah says, but we know in Siman Sadihei, in any case we have a Chumrah to eat it like Melchik. Even without this Chumrah B'yalma, it's the Ikra Din for Ashkenazim to eat it like Melchik. So, the Shach suggests an emendation to the Ramah, and Taz seems to have the same maskana, even though, you know, we're not sure exactly what he thinks Ramah says. He says no. Says the Shach. The Shach emends the Ramah. Did min hakli shehu ben yomo. Meaning, not just here. Meaning, what do you mean? Eat it with milk, not meat. Says the Shach, that's not such a chiddush, says in the Siman Sadihei. Rather means eat it in a milchig bowl, not a meat bowl. And that's a chiddush in Siman Sadihei. We didn't previously say that. Okay, so according to our Girsa the Ramah, he's not necessarily saying a chiddush yet that we didn't know from Siman Sadihei. According to the Shach, he meant the Girsa say he is saying a chiddush. What's the... Here, there's a ton of details. How do you eat it? You know, is the Ramah talking about what kli to eat it in or what food to eat it with? So here we have two different opinions. The Maharshal, he's quoting the Shach, I believe, and the Taz. First of all, how do you eat it? So Lamaisa, how do you eat it? So says the Keh Eza. So here there are two datas. There is the Argirsa in the Ramah. There's Argirsa in the Ramah and the Argirsa in the Ramah. Ramah says with milk, right? Whichever one is Ben Yomo. However, and that is also the Psak of the Shach. Even though he amends the Ramah to not say that, he still thinks this is the Psak. The Ramah and the Shach says, with milk, says the Toras Chatas, which is also the Ramah, which, you know, might make you think that we should amend the Ramah here. He says, no, with neither. He says with neither. Okay, you should eat it with neither. That's the Chumra, the Toras Chatas. The Achronim go to town trying to figure out who to paskin like in this weird case. Should be paskin like.
What do you mean by with either?
Meaning you shouldn't eat it with milk or meat. Just eat it by itself or with parv.
Oh, okay.
Right, with neither meat or milk. Okay, our Ramah says kimin like it's milchin. That means you can eat it with milk, not with meat. Obviously, it doesn't mean you have to eat it with milk. You can always eat it by itself. It means you're allowed to mix it with milk. You're not allowed to mix it with meat. The Shach says, no, he means bimin. But it's also true kimin. You can eat it with milk. But the Toras Chatas says you can't eat it with either. How about in what kind of kli? Eza. So here... says the Toras Chatas, any kli. You can eat it in any kli you want. We're not machmir what kli you eat it in. Says the Shach. No, he amended the Ramah, and he says, no, only in a milchik kli. You can't eat it in a fleshik kli. Okay, the Marshal sounds like he is even more machmir, and says that you should only eat it with a parev kli. That's super machmir. That's Marshal. You have to eat it with it, and they didn't have parmesan those days. You have to eat it with a new spoon, right? You have to eat it with a new spoon. Okay, so there are many different deos. Okay, the Achronim argue about exactly which of these deos to paskin like, you know, about exactly which of these deos to paskin like. Lamaisa, it seems here pretty clearly, everybody agrees with the Shach. Yeah, there are different deos about exactly how to paskin. And there, if it's a Chomer B'Alma that one can be make of, like our printed Ramah and the Shach. That's one Chumr. Let's go to the second Chumr. Anyway, the second Chumr, this is the tough Chumr. Kamela, what you eat it with, the Seder, you know, you manage. The second Chumr is that we trafe up, in this case, the Kedera is the Kedera, right? Whichever one is not Ben Yomo, the Kedera is trafe. Here it's a little weird. Why is the Kedera trafe? The Kedera only got a not bar not case, right? The Kedera did not affect the soup because the Kedera is ain't a Ben Yomo. What did the Kedera get? It got a not bar not taste of milk. So why should it be trafe? It got a not bar not taste of of milk. So that is also you know, he says, strafe, less or a plea.
Okay. These things are beyond the normal Iker HaDin. The question is, okay, if you say combine like this shita and this shita, then it's just what we learned in Sadiqay, but that's no one shita. So the question is, where do these chumras come from? And here is a big mess exactly where these chumras come from. The basic problem is that these don't match what we see elsewhere. Where do they not match what we see elsewhere? Number one, right? There's a mismatch this is an additional chumra, right? This is more chumra than in Siman Sadi Hei. In Siman Sadi Hei, we say, anat bar nat. For Ashkenazim, you shouldn't eat it with meat, but you can eat it with milk, and you can eat in any kli you want. So how come here, all of a sudden, what are we seeing later on? As far as the nos and talmud gam, we say it has no effect whatsoever later on. Nos and talmud gam doesn't bother us at all. Once you cook something, nos and talmud gam, it's totally mutter. Right? If you cook something, what do we say later on? If you cook something in a benyomo fleshy pot, it's parv. What if you cook it in a benyomo milking spoon? Then it's not for not to etera. You have to eat it with milk, not with meat, but you can eat it any kli you want. So here we're more machmir. Why are we more machmir here is not 100% clear. The Taz never actually says. The Shach gives two pshatim. Says the Shach, maybe there's a minhag of ktsatz mekomos. Okay, maybe there's only minhag of some places. Maybe it's not a minhag of every place. Who knows? Maybe these people are the minhag to be more machmir in every case of not bar nat. Right? Oh, we're more machmir than the normal rules of not bar nat. Okay, these places have a minhag to be more machmir not bar nat. Could be. But the real answer is like the second shah of the shah. What's the second shah of the shah? Is that, why are we more machmir here than in Siman Sadi Hei? Because Sadi Hei beis. Because what's the case of Siman Sadi Hei Sif beis? That case is, let's review this case. That case is milk to kli to soup. That case was only a not burn out of milk without any sticking in a meat spoon. I mean, the difference is over here you had a meat and a milk. You had a meat and a milk clean. Over there you only had a milk clean. So says the Shach, you know what? We're more machmir when you have a meat and a milk clean in the same case than when you only have a milk clean. Even though halachically it's the same. Basically, in this case, it's as if you only had a milk clean. The place you clean was not benyomo, had no effect. But we're more machmir because it could easily, to avoid confusion. So here, no. We're more machmir. When spoon and pot don't match, atu hecha dishnehem b'nei yomon. Meaning, let's look at this. Over here, one was ben yomo, one wasn't. That could easily be confused when they're both ben yomo. And when they're both ben yomo, it's chaser treif. So therefore, if you have a spoon, a fleishik spoon in a milchik pot, or milchik spoon in a fleishik pot, even if one of them is not benyomo, the minig is be a little more machmir to remind you that it's very serious when you stick with the wrong spoon in the wrong pot, as opposed to a case where you just cook soup in a milchik, soup in a milchik pot. Soup in a milchik pot, like, you can't really come on to anything wrong there. So we're not super machmir. So there's like two steamers. Let's get the two steamers. One is, right, A is Stira Tzadi Hei Bet. B is Stira Tzadi Hei Gimel. Okay, what do I mean by that? In the first case, the status of the food is a not bar not of milk. Look, we know the rule of not bar not from milk from Tzadi Hei Bet. Why is this more machmir than a regular not bar not of milk? The answer is, says the Shach, either in some place there were more machmir, or this more machmir than normal not bar not of milk, because normal not bar not of milk was not almost treif. This was almost treif. If both of them had been benyomo, it would have been treif. Therefore, we're a machmir
to remind you to be extra careful when you have the wrong spoon in the wrong pot, because you better ask the rabbi every time and tell him all the details, because it gets very complicated. Okay, that's the shot. The Taz doesn't actually have an answer. Every afternoon has another answer, but, you know, none of them are earth-shattering. How about this case? This is the Sphira to Tzadi Hei Gimel. Because what was Tzadi Hei Gimel? Tzadi Hei Gimel was this exact case. Boiling water in the pot, put the kli in, what is Ben Yom, what is Ben Yom, and said that was the case of dishwashing. No one cared if you were going to eat the water or not from dishwashing. You weren't intending to eat it anyway. The kelim were all kosher. What's the Sphira? Stira is that there are two exactly parallel cases, because the way they washed their dishes in those days was just like cooking. They'd boil up a giant pot of boiling water and then stick the dishes in them to wash them. So it's like sticking a spoon. So what do we have here? In Sadi Dalet Hay, we have spoon is a case of stirring. Stirring, and in Sadi Hei Gimel is a case of washing dishes. And in the case of stirring, we say one kli is nasar. In the case of dishwashing, we say it's all mutter. And that's the Ikar Din. The Ikar Din is that it's all mutter. I explained the logic to you. But how could we have a minik to be machmir in Sadi Dalet Sif Hei, and no minik to be machmir in Sadi Hei Sif Gimel? That's the second question. What's the answer? We'll give three answers to this. The Shach, first answer is the same. The Shach says, number one, maybe it's only the minhag of Ketzas Mekobos. Maybe there's only the minhag in some places. But those places would also be machmer by the dishwashing. Meaning the places that are machmer in Siman Tzadi Dalet, we machmer in Siman Tzadi Hei. Places that are mekel in Siman Tzadi Hei, we mekel in Siman Tzadi Dalet. It's hard to imagine that. That's not what the Ramah sounds like. Right, it doesn't sound like in this place we have to rewrite Siman Tzadi Hei. When you get to Siman Tzadi Hei, we have to rewrite Siman Tzadi Dalet. So what's the next option? The next option the truth is he's not strictly talking about this. He's really talking about Tzadi Hei Sif. Sif Beis in the Shach here in Sif Katan Yod Ches. Tzadi Hei Sif Gimel, he says, what did he say here? Let's just check if he says the same thing. Sif Eon. He doesn't explicitly. Deal with this. L'chora, that's what he would say at the very least. What's the other option? The other option is, let's say LP. Here it is. So Shach's second answer. What's his second answer? In his second answer, he says, Machmirim Yoser Ayidid Bishol. The minhag's being machmir more when you make a mistake in cooking than when you make a mistake in dishwasher. That's the very end of Sukkot Yud Ches. That's what we're looking for. So he says, either it's just a minhag with Tzas Mekobos, it's supposed to be against Siman Tzadi Hei, or no, this works with Siman Tzadi Hei. It's just that we're more machmir here than in Tzadi Hei Sif Beis because you messed up, and we're more machmir here than Tzadi Hei Sif Gimel because we're more worried in cooking than in dishwashing. Why? He doesn't explain. Why are you more worried when you mess up cooking than dishwashing? It's the exact same thing. You have boiling water in a pot, and something goes into that pot. One is milk, one is fleshy, one is benyama, one isn't. What difference does it make if I was cooking and stirring or washing dishes in boiling water and sticking in the dishes? Okay, since the minhag's doing more machmir in cooking, maybe what he means is that, people are more likely to mess up when cooking. I'm not sure. The Taz, though, is very clever. The Taz gives a Hesper. He starts with the Shach. He says, Machmirim Yoser al Yidei Bishol, because maybe this is what the Shach meant. Hard to tell. Here he says, very simple. He says, let's look at it. When I wash dishes, if I wash a milchik dish in a fleishik basin, or a fleishik dish in a milchik basin, and one is ben yomo, one isn't ben yomo, what do I do with the water after I wash dishes? I throw it out. What do I do with the water after I wash dishes? If I did make a mistake, kashrus, if I didn't make a mistake, kashrus, either way, I throw it out. I throw it down the drain. You know, or whatever, put in the wastewater, wherever I put it, right? However, what happens in this case? Let's take this case. The kaf was ben yomo and the kneer wasn't bas yomo. So now I treat the food like milchik, because I stirred it with a milchik spoon. Once I treat the food like milchik, what might it look like? I'm going to eat this food with milk and not eat it with meat. I'm going to eat this food, he says, pour it into it. I'm going to eat this food in a milk bowl, not a meat bowl. Now, what does it look like? It looks like I was cooking milk. That doesn't mean dishwashing. It doesn't look like the water was anything. The water was just garbage. Here, it might look like I was cooking a milchik dish. And if I was cooking a milchik dish in a fleishik pot, then the fleishik pot is treif. That's what he says, because it looks like the food was milchik. Okay, maybe I'm adding a few words. Has heard what he says. Anyway, it's very clever. The Shach doesn't say you are more machmir and bishul. You can make up anything you want. Right? The Chabas Das goes to town explaining exactly which chumras were machmir and bishul, but not in dishwashing. But he never explained why we were machmir in cooking than in dishwashing. Are people more likely to make mistakes in cooking than dishwashing? I'm not sure why. The Taz is a good Hesper. He says, because in dishwashing, you throw out the water. So it looks like it was just water. No one thinks you washed your dishes in anything but pure water. But in cooking, no one knows what was in the soup. And it seems like if the ben yomo was milchik, it seems like you were cooking milchiks. If you were cooking milchiks, then the fleishik kli is now treif. If the ben yomo is fleishik, it seems like you were cooking fleishik. And if you're cooking fleishik in the milchik kli is now treif. So that's a very good, nice top of the Taz. That, because we're cooking food and not washing dishes, the food could have had any ingredients at all. And so it looks like the food is the same as the ben yomo kli. Once it looks like the food is the same as the ben yomo kli, then it looks like the end of ben yomo kli became treif. And therefore, the minhag is to treif it up. Okay, nice, has for the Taz. Halacha l'maisa, we keep this. Halacha l'maisa, we keep this minhag. And if you do mess up like this, and you stir the wrong parv, but the spoon and the pot don't match, one is melted, one is fleishik, then, if they're both ben yomo, then al pi din, it's all treif. If they're both ein ben yomo, there's no minhag. But if one is ben yomo, one is ein ben yomo, then we keep this minhag, even though we're not exactly sure why. Even the Shach in his first day said maybe only some towns keep this minhag, but not most towns. We keep this minhag, and we assume that now whichever kli was ein ben yomo has become treif, al pi minhag, and the food has to be treated more totally like the gender of the kli that was ben yomo. And that's just a chumar bialma, but all else being equal, we're bound by this chumar bialma because we assume it's minig Ashkenaz, like the second day of the Shach, not only a minig of a few towns. Yes? A and B. A, that now the food has to be treated as totally milchik, and even eaten in milchik kalem and not fleisha kalem. And B, now the pot has to be considered treif. Okay, and if all of this is being equal, then we have to keep this chumra bialma. Unless, you know, there's some other factor that makes us want to be mako, then if you look, like there's a Yad Yehuda here, if you look downstairs on the shelf, he said, chumra bialma means if there's some other tzav l'hakol you can be mako, but all else being equal, then you have to be machmir. Okay,
Is it just the kedera that's treif, or it's whichever one is...
Whichever is Eino Ben Yomo is treif. Even though it shouldn't be treif, because it only got a napar, not the tamer, and got nothing. But, al pi minhag, whichever is Eino Ben Yomo is treif, and the food has to be treated totally like whichever was Ben Yomo.
And then Taz explains that one chumer flows in the other. Once we treat the food as like the one that's been yomo, it looks like the food was really milchur fleishig, and therefore it looks like the ainu ben yomo kliyus treif. Okay, you have to sort out which the pot, which the spoon. Doesn't really matter. Just one is ben yomo, one is ainu ben yomo. Don't let it confuse you. Now, if there's no other questions, we're ready for Se'if Vav. Se'if Vav. Yes, please.
Just to be clear, the first question was about what type of kli you could eat it in, and that was a machlokes between the Toras Chatas, Shach, and Marashal, and we held like the Shach. And the second question, we held like the Taz and the Shach, and not like the first Shach that were Lamaisa, we say the Pot's Treif.
I mean, again, I don't know what you mean by first and second. Here, there were three issues. Number one, how do you eat it? Like, with what? There's a machlokes between the Shach versus the Toras Chatas. Then there was, in what kli do you eat it? Toras Chatas, Shach, Marashal. Then there was what happens to the kli that was ainu ben yomo? Did it become treif or not? And then we passed like the second of the shach kli became treif. Here we passed like the shach. You have to eat it in a milk of kli. Here it was actually a little samach when we're machmir. The Orach HaShulchan says if you can, good to be machmir. So there are those who are machmir to not eat it with meat or milk, to eat it with parif. Well, the ma'isa I said I thought you could be making like the shach and like the printed rama to eat it with whatever was ben yomo. Hopefully that helped clear you up. Okay, look on Mignon's face, says he's not sure if that cleared everything.
No, that was great. That was great.
But if not, he knows where to find me. He knows where I live. Okay, Se'if Vav, and this gets into big halacha l'maisa. It's Solom O Yirakos. Shablu and Mibasar. Ben, can I just... Oh, no, forget it. We can't close the door because it's Corona. Are the windows open at least? What? Well, if we're not going to open everything, we might as well close the door and open a window, even though really they're both supposed to be open. It also keeps us awake. And brisk. Yes. Yes. Okay. Anyway. Okay, Rabosai. Yeah. Vav. Bitsalam o yirakos, shebeluim mi basar. This big, big, big halacha maisa. This maisa b'chol yom, by the way. Onions or vegetables that have a bli of basar. Like, for example, what's a bli of basar? I'll give a case that's never really going to happen in your house. You take all the other ingredients from the cholent, right? You have cholent without meat. No, cholent was with meat. But you only have leftover, right? Right? Moshe Tzarev, you made the cholent with meat. And Gemosh and Tzarech, you ate all the meat parts first, right? So all you have left is the barley and the beans and the onions and whatever else you put in. We'll throw in onions, and most people put onions in the cholent, they're in the shofanar here. And they have a bli of meat. How much bli of meat do they have? I don't know, you have 20 ounces of this, but it only has 4 ounces bli of meat. And then you accidentally cook them in a milchik pot. If you know how much basar is balu in them, you don't need 60 times all the betzolim and yirakos. You only need 60 times the meat. What's he saying? We don't say hanan. Why don't we say hanan? Because it was heter, right? Fleishik cholent is heter, right? I didn't take a picture of the board yet. 1 second. Not sure the picture of the board is for everyone's here, but okay, just in case. Yes,
that would not be a crazy idea.
Yeah. I do, but I already have a few copies of your deck. Okay. Let's review for a second. There are three cases. Here we have, Betzalim are 20. Bluim of 1 ounce of blank, right? So what are the cases? One case is, what if the blank is chalav, then, and I cook it.
Now I need, how much do I need to be mevatel these? Sorry, I take that back. What if the 1 ounce is basar? That's our case. Basar. What do I need to be mevatel these onions if I cook them in a bit? And then, obviously, what's wrong with basar? Then cook in chalavi pot. What do I need to be mevatel them? The Shulchan Aruch just said, you need 60 times 1. Why? Because the onions were never chanan, because the onions were heter. What about the next case? What if it had been treif, isser? Right? Isser. What if it had been isser? How much would I need to be mevatel these onions now? Machloket between Ashkenazim and Sfarim. For the Mechaber, I would need 60 times 1. There's no Chanan B'Shari Surin. For the Ramah, I would need 60 times 20, because there is Chanan and Shari Surin. Okay. How about this case the Shach discusses? What if it was Balua of, you know, 1/2 ounce Basar and 1/2 ounce Chalav? Meaning, Balua of 1 ounce of Basar B'Chalav. Now, the Ramah would certainly say, I need 60 times 20. What would the Mechaber say? How much do I need to be mevatel this? These onions. They're below with 1 ounce of basar b'chalav. What do I need to be mevatel them? 60 times 20 or 60 times 1? 60 times 20, because there's chanan and basar b'chalav, right? Says the Lefi to Beis Yosef, Shach here quotes Beis Yosef, meaning that's Mechaber himself. Lefi the Beis Yosef Atzmo, you need 60 times 20. Why? Here is Pasha. There's no Chanan because it's Mutter. This is the Machlokas of Chanan, Bishar Yisurim. Here, because this is Chanan in Basar B'Chalav. Can anyone tell me, besides the Shach, why this isn't really logical? Because what's the svar of Hanan of the Mechaber? There's Hanan and Basar B'Chalav and not Shari Surin. Svar is, when milk and meat combine, they become Basar B'Chalav. When Isser and Heter combine, the Isser is Asser and the Heter stays Mutter. In this case, the half and the half should be Hanan. It should be one of Hanan. But onions can't become Basar B'Chalav. Onions are just Heter. They got the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. Right, so Lefi the Shach, that's the Shach right here, it's a cut something. Sifkatan. The very end of Sifkatan Chaf Beis, I haven't done the beginning yet. So, Sifkatan Chaf Beis, he says, I'm Ashkenazi, I don't care. But I think if you're Sfardi, then it should be only 60 times 1. Why? Because the Basar plus the chalav equals chanan of basar b'chalav. But the basar b'chalav plus the betzalim, when you mix basar b'chalav with betzalim, that's just shari surin. It says, I'm Ashkenazi, I see chanan b'shari surin. But the silly Sephardi guy shouldn't have said chanan here because this is not chanan of basar b'chalav, this is chanan of shari surin. Basar b'chalav means meat combining with milk. That's basar b'chalav. And then it's not just nevela. It's as if all the meat and all the milk is nevela. Wonderful. All the meat and all the milk is nevela. Now you mix it with onions. You're mixing nevela with onions. That's shari sur. Right? That is, the truth is, logically, who makes more sense here? The Shach or the Beis Yosef? When you mix the meat and milk with onions, is the onions a chanan of basar b'chalav, even for Sephardim, or is the onions like shari sur? And would be not chanan for Sephardim. Who do you think is more logical? Most people are convinced that the Shach is more logical here. Right? The whole half of basar b'chalav is that, what's the isser? The basar and the chalav. So the basar and the chalav both turn into isser. No one ever said that basar, chalav, and onions are the etzem isser of basar b'chalav. No, the onions just have a bli of basar b'chalav. They're just heter that's carrying a taste of basar b'chalav. That's no different than heter carrying a taste of ham. Pashas, the Shach is right. As a matter of fact, say the Achronim, like the Prima Gadim and others, the Prima Gadim right here and others, say that It's only drabanan because it's dome lechanan in basar b'cholov. Even the Mechaber didn't really mean this is Hanan and Basar B'cholov, midoraisa. It's not a svar of Hanan and Basar B'cholov. Give me a break. When you mix Basar B'cholov and onions, that's like mixing Isser and Heter. That's Shari Surid. Shari Surid means Isser and Heter don't make Hanan for Sfardim. Basar B'cholov is meat and milk do make Hanan for Sfardim. Meat and milk and onions, the meat and milk are like an Isser, the onions are Heter, it shouldn't be Hanan for Sfardim. Why does Beis Yosef think it is? See, the Achronah, he only needs midrabanan because it sounds like Hanan and Basar B'cholov. It seems easily confusable with Hanan and Basar B'cholov. So that's how we assume that Sfardim would say Hanan when Basar B'cholov mixed with onions, but only midrabanan. Because it's not logical. It's just something that you don't want people to be confused. Okay, that's the, you can look at the Prima Gadam right here, or all the Achronah. I think all the Achronah agree that really the Shach is right logically, and the Mechaber is only a Chumrah dirabanan. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Is it so impossible to say that the Sofonar imagines that Basar B'cholov, even if it was mixed before being joined to the third entity, then also makes the
test? Meaning, is it so crazy to say the Mechaber is Me'ikratin? He thinks that when the Torah said the Isser Basar B'cholov, it meant anything with the taste of meat and milk, regardless of what it is the Etzev Isser Basar B'cholov. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Why does it need to be like in stages? Sorry, why does it need to all refer to one single stage at a time mixing with Basar B'cholov? And then
it's just... No, I'm not referring to one stage. Even at the same time the meat, milk, and onions mix, the Shach would say the same thing. The question is, what's the Etzev Heftz of Basar B'cholov? Says the Shach, the Etzev Heftz of Basar B'cholov is the meat and the milk. You can't say the onions is the heft of Basar B'cholov. The onion is just something that got the taste of Basar B'cholov. That's like Shari Surim. Oh. And what you want to defend around the Mechaber B'Beis Yosef is to say, no. The onions are the etzem heft of Basar B'cholov.
Well, it becomes a banana of Basar B'cholov when it's cooked with meat and milk. That's why he did.
Because, go back to the Svara. Let's go back to the Svara. Why is the Mechaber Mechalek between Basar B'cholov and Shari Surim?
Because when Shari Surim mixes with when something which is within Shari Surim mixes with a Stam entity, then it's just the Isser and Heter stay separate.
There's no reason that the Heter should turn into Isser, right?
Yeah.
What's the Svar of the Mechaber? Svaras Hasfardim. By the way, it's not Sfardim, it's really Rabbeinu Ephraim at first, right? Rabbeinu Ephraim was not Sfardim, just in the end, it's started positively. It's that when you mix Basar plus Cholov equals, they both are the actual Isser, right? But when you mix Heter plus Isser, the Isser is the Isser. The Heter is just mixed with it. Right? That's the Sura. When you mix Isser and Heter, the Heter doesn't become Isser. It's just mixed with the Isser. Why should the Heter become Isser? Just because it's mixed with it. When you mix meat and milk, they both become the Isser because that's the definition of the Isser. The Isser is meat and milk. Like, what else would the Isser be? Right?
Defining Basar B'cholov as being Basar B'cholov only if that's mixed with it. It then becomes
Shari
Surim after it's mixed.
Yeah. That's the simple logic. What Yoni wants to say is that no. What happens when you mix Basar B'cholov and onions? So I would say the Basar and Cholov become the Etzma Isser, and the onions are just mixed with the Isser. He wants to say no. Regardless of the order, when you mix Basar B'cholov and onions, the onions are also the Etzma Isser. Why are the onions the Etzma Isser? They're neither meat nor milk. So Yoni wants to say to defend different than Achronim. I won't even give him Achronim. I'm sure you can find some Achronim to say like Yoni. When the Torah said Lo Svashal Yivich Leivimo, what the Torah meant is Be'etzem, don't eat anything that tastes like meat and milk. Don't eat milk that tastes like meat and milk. Don't eat meat that tastes like meat and milk. And don't eat anything else that tastes like meat and milk. And whatever tastes like meat and milk is the Etzem Ha'iser. That's what Yoni wants to time it for the Mechaber. Okay, Yoni wants to time it differently. Again, I'm sure there are Achronim who say like Yoni. You know, I just don't remember them. Yoni wants to say...
Oh, no.
Midoraisa, Mitzah Sachronim.
Okay. Which makes the achronim. I'm sure if we looked, we'd find some achronim saying that because, you know, it's an obvious enough svara. Midoraisa, onions are are an original chefta of basar b'chalav. Okay, you want to say the mechaber is doraisa, right? It's not the mechaber, it's Yosef. I mean, same person. It's doraisa. The prima gadim and others here want to say it's drabanan, right? Where's the line of the prima gadim? Says the prima gadim here someplace. He should say. Towards the end. Do I have the right? Yeah, the truth is that the Shach himself says this, that I found the Bach said this, and okay, not so clear exactly what he means. Okay, he gives a whole bunch of achronim. We're not going to look them up right now. Should we look them up? We can see there's two svaras. Okay. Anyway, the halacha maisa, we assume that it's only your opponent for svara. Okay, now let's get to where it, yes. Again, not according to the Shach himself, according to the Shach, according for Svart. Why? Because there's 1 ounce of Hanan here, which is half the Basar and half the Chalav. But the onions never became Hanan, because when the Basar and Chalav mixed with the onions, that was just Isser mixing with Heter. And when Isser mixed with Heter, there's no Hanan for Svart. I don't know if I answered your question. What's the status of these onions? If the onions just got taste of basar, the onions are not chanan. If the onions got taste of treif, they're chanan for Ashkenazim, not for Sephardim. What if the onions got taste of a little meat and a little milk? For Ashkenazim, they're definitely chanan. For Sephardim, it's a machlokas. The Machaber says, since there's basar b'chalav involved here, the onions are chanan. And Shach says, no, the onions are not chanan. Because if you have a mixture of meat, milk, and onions, you have to view that. This is what the Shach says. Here you have one half basar, one half chalav, and 20 bitzalim. How does the Shach look at it? The Shach looks at it like this. There's one mixture of basar b'chalav, and that you say chanan. Then, there's a mixture. Chanan means that's like a piece of treif. There is. Basar b'chalav, u'bitzalim. And that you don't say chanan, because basar b'chalav mixing with onions is kosher mixing with treif. And when you mix kosher and treif, according to the Mechaber, you shouldn't say chanan for svardim. You only say chanan for svardim when meat mixes with milk, not when kosher mixes with treif. Now over here, meat mixes with milk and kosher mixes with treif in the same piece. But there are two different haluyos going on here. So one halos, the meat mixing with the milk, and another halos, the meat and milk mixing with the onions. The halos of the meat mixing with the milk is a basar b'chalav. The halos of the meat and milk mixing with the onions, that's not basar b'chalav. The meat and milk already mixed. Now they're a piece of treif. When those mix with onions, it's just treif mixing with kosher. When treif mixes with kosher, it's fired and don't say chanan. That's the shach. I mean half an ounce. Not half the onions. Half an ounce, right?
Not half the onions.
I mean, half an ounce equals, meaning, 1 ounce of basar b'chalav in the 20-ounce onions. There are 20 ounces of onions. In those 20 ounces of onions, there's a half ounce of basar taste and a half ounce of chalav taste. Meaning, the onions are 2.5% basar taste, 2.5% chalav taste. And total 5% basar b'chalav taste. But still, that wouldn't make the other 95% chanan for Sephardim, says the Shach. Okay, now let's get to the halacha l'maisa. Why does this come up a ton's halacha l'maisa? Because it's very unlikely. The scenario I just envisioned is highly unlikely that you would take the barley from the chulin to cook it in a milchit pot or whatever equivalent case.
But what case is much more likely? That the onions we know. Okay. I'll again make reference to Mitzadi Hay. But hopefully you know this, right? Right, you're all adults. And you have kitchens. So you know that if you cut onions with a fleshik knife, they become fleshik. There's no rule of not bar not the tera for onions. Because onions are? Harif. So, if you cut onions with a fleshik knife, or fry with a fleshik pan, but that's not going to help for this case. You cut onions with a fleshik, as you'll see, just the numbers won't work out. Cut onions with a fleshik knife, they're fleshik. Could someone accidentally cut onions with a fleshik knife and then cook them in a milchik stew? Milka soup? They could. Or cut onions with a milchik knife and accidentally cook them in a fleshik cholent or chicken soup? That could happen all the time, right? As a matter of fact, that happened once. Ray Willig told me he once had Ritzvi Koshelevsky over for Shabbos. I don't know if people have still heard of Ritzvi Koshelevsky. Once upon a time, all the while you guys who wanted to learn someplace more yeshivish went to Ritzvi's. Not my age. My age, they all went to Tomo. After that, they all went to Ritzvi's. And now they all go to the mirror. I mean, together with the rest of the universe. The Amazon.comization of yeshivas. So Ritzvi was once a Willig for Shabbos, and lo and behold, someone in the family cut onions with a milchik knife and then cooked them in the cholent, proper fleshik cholent, and it was Shabbos morning. You want to know if we could serve Ritzvi Koshelevsky the cholent or not. Of course, so being very Willig, he brought the shiloh up to Ritzvi, and they delved into the sugya and really added to their own shops. But they did eat the sholent, and there are many tzadim l'hakol in that case, and there are more tzadim l'hakol in that case than in any case I'll envision in any case. But, okay, let's leave that case aside. In that case, there were more tzadim l'hakol, which wasn't so clear the milchik knife was really milchik anyway, because, you know, the kinds of food they eat, did they ever really cut hot milchik with that knife in their kitchen? Okay, so there are many tzadim l'hakol. But let's think about this case in the abstract. This could easily happen in every household. What happens if you cut the I'm going to flip the genders for the case of Shavonar. You cut the onions with a milchik knife and cook them in your chicken soup. Right? Maisim b'chol yom. So, says the Mechaber, if you know how much meat was in the onions, in this case, do you know how much meat taste was in the onions? No more than the size of the knife blade, right? Then you only need 60 connected the knife blade, not connected the onions. In a typical chicken soup, you do not, or other things, you don't have 60 connected the onions. You usually put in more than a 60th onions. Pretty much almost all foods which include onions, you have more than a 60th onions. But you always have more than 60 times the size of the knife blade. Usually you use a small knife to cut onions, and the knife blade's pretty small. You could use a big cleaver. I'm saying, it's not halacha we've seen. In a typical case, you don't have 60 times the onions, but you do have 60 times the knife blade, in which case, the meat would be batel, and the milk taste would be batel, and everything would be kosher. Based on this machaber, there are more just adds. Well, shayif lomar chandet dichmas veil hol badai kulo hatter and kakin. So, sharag neged ma'ash shabalah. Finish the Rambam later. This only comes up to two machlokos. So, what if you have this case? Let's imagine this case. You have onions cooked. Not cooked. I mean, yes, but not first. Cut with sakin chalavi, cooked in bisari soup. Let's put some numbers here. Let's say the soup is, it says onions. It's one of the examples, right? It says onions or vegetables. No, the difference is that vegetables only have a blia of meat if you actually cook them in the chulent. Because otherwise there's a heter not bar not. Onions have a blia of meat whether you cook them in the chulent or cut them with a fleshik knife.
But onions, you wouldn't need to extract the entire meat.
I'm not, I don't understand what you're saying. Isn't that the whole point? That they don't become Hanan, so you only need to connect the meat, not connect the whole onion?
Well, if you chop it up really small,
then you would say that the layer got a whole surface area. Oh, okay. We're discussing two different, you're right. Everyone gets confused about this. There are two different questions to be answered inside of you. Number one is, how far through the onions did the taste of the knife penetrate? Right? And the answer is, whatever the answer is. And if you chopped it up small, it penetrated through the whole thing, right? Because it touched every single piece. The tip was how much quantity of meat glios are in the onions, right? How much quantity of meat glios could be in the onions? Could there be more meat glios in the onions than the size of the knife, no matter how many times you chop? Say I chopped the onions a million times. Could they have more glios than the size of the knife? Where would those glios have come from? It got glios from the knife. How could it have more glios than the size of the whole knife, right? I'm not asking which part of the onions have the glios. All parts of the onions have the glios. But how much glios? Yeah, but hold on. But if the whole size of the knife came out the first chop, there was nothing left to come out the second chop. Meaning, it can't come out, the same thing can't come out twice. Imagine the knife is, first of all, we all know the knife's not really full of meat glios. It has a little meat glios. It also has a lot of metal. But imagine, worst case scenario, this knife was just a very, very, if it's a 1 ounce knife blade, it's a little 1 ounce shot glass with thin metal walls holding meat taste. I pour it in and pour it in and pour it in and pour it in. I pour it in 100 times on every single speck of the onion. Can I get more than 1 ounce of meat taste onto the onions, no matter how many times I pour where? No, because whatever came out the first time can't come out the next time. Whatever came out the next time can't come out the next time. You still can't get more than you started with, no matter how many times you transfer. Again, I have a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola. No matter how many times I empty that can, I turn over that can onto the onions. No matter whether I open the can onto the onion as a whole or cut the onion in half and put it into half or cut it into a million pieces and pour it individually into a million pieces, you're not getting more than 12 ounces of Coke because you can't end up with more than you started with. Again, with Hanans, you end up more than you started with, I understand. But here there's no Hanan. It's just meat and onions, right? The whole magic of Hanan, meaning black magic, is that you end up with more Isser than you started. But if there's no Hanan, you can't end up with more meat taste than you started. So if the maximum meat taste there is, which is obviously a gross overestimation, the knife blade is 1 fluid ounce. Obviously, we all know there's like, you know, 0.0-something fluid ounces of meat taste in there. But since we don't know, there's no scientific way to measure, we say maybe the whole knife blade is so porous and full of meat gravy. Maybe. But you can't have more meat gravy than you started with. So let's go to this example. Let's assume the onions, the soup is 200 ounces. The onions are 20 ounces. And the knife blade, because you don't care about the handle, right? No one cuts up a handle, is 1. Then what's the Machaber saying here? If it had been, Rabosai, a trafe knife, then what would have happened? We would have said, yeah, the onions are 1/20th trafe. Once the onions are 1/20th trafe, now they're all Hanan. Once they're Hanan, now it's 20/200. You don't have 60. The whole soup is trafe, right? If it had been trafe, because of Hanan. And then you start asking, well, what part of the onion did the knife touch, right? Because after all, it can only make Hanan where it touched. But if you diced it all up, right? If it had been trafe, let's see. If it had been sakin shel iser, then what would have happened? The 1 would have infected the 20 and made it Hanan. And then the 20 Hanan would have made the 200 Osir. 10-1 ratio. But that's not the case, right? This is in parentheses. What happens here? It says Mechaber, the 1 infects the 20, and there's 1 milk in the 20. Okay, but it's not Hanan because it's heter. As the Rama says, the little shaykh lomer Hanan ho vadaim kulo heter. Says the Rama. So it's all heter. There's no Hanan. So what do you have here? You have 20 ounces of onions with 1 ounce of milk in it. You put it in the soup. Now you have 20 ounces of onions in the soup. That's very sweet. You have 1 ounce of milk in the soup. That's not so sweet, but it's batel shishim and it's fine. That's seemingly the psak of the Mechaber. However, there are 2 machlokas achronim that come into play here. One is the machlokas the most achronim the Kreis Yuplitzi, and one is the machlokas the most achronim Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay,
says the crazy place, which is not on the picture. It's quoted in the Aruch HaShulchan, or you can look it up in the crazy place. If you have your computer, it's in the crazy place. Says the crazy place, that's Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, in, you know, in Yeshiva circles. It's the crazy place. It's the appearance of the Tumim on your day. In Yeshiva circles, you're named by what you wrote on Chosh Mishpat. So says the crazy place. He says, but the onions are still treif. The soup is kosher. The onions are treif. There are two machlokas. One, says the crazy place, the soup is kosher, but the onions are treif. Why are the onions treif? Soup is kosher, but the onions are treif. Why are the onions treif? Because he says, think about it this way. The onions became milchik when you cut them. Did the onions become fleshik in the soup or not? That's not supposed to be a real question. Did the onions become fleshik in the soup? Of course, the onions are 20, the soup is 200. They were like, they were outweighed by the fleshik. Of course, they got tons of fleshik taste. So it says, why? What's the svara? Because onions absorbed ta'am of chalav and ta'am of basar. You can't deny the onions absorbed ta'am basar. They cooked in a chicken soup. And you can't deny they absorbed ta'am chalav. They were cut with a milchik knife. So therefore, the onions are treif. So what do you have to do? You have to throw out the onions and eat the soup. Okay, summer bame. In this kolo paskin like the crazy placey. The Aruch HaShulchan paskin like the crazy placey. He didn't think of himself, meaning he went through all the Aruch and he was convinced by the crazy placey. Who on our page didn't say that? Said the opposite? The Maharam Lublin. The Maharam Lublin wrote beforeish, meaning he knows someone might think this crazy. Obviously, it was a long time for the crazy placey. Right? He was, I don't know, 200 years before the crazy placing. But he knew you could think of the Svara, and the Shach quotes him around Lublin in Sifkat and Chav Gimel. Kasab choose Marami Lublin. The Marami Lublin. The choose Marami Lublin, you'd find the choose Marami Lublin. Where else would you find something written by the Marami Lublin? In the back of the Shas, next to the Marsha, right? Or under the Marsha. That's the Marami. That Marami, the Marami Lublin. After Mount Rami Rutenberg. He was a Rishon. Mount Rami Lublin was a first generation and early Achron, similar to the Maharsha and the Maharshal and the Ramah. They were all same basic chet. So it says the Mount Rami Lublin, that in Yeshishim they get a baser blue, a batzel is af ha batzel mutter. Absolutely, even if it didn't melt in, even the batzel's be'en, you could strain out the onions, you could pick out the onions, it's totally mutter. The Ein Tzarich Lafrisho, there's no need to take it out. As opposed to, if you had cut the onion with a treif knife, then the onion stays treif no matter what, because the onion's treif, it's chana. But over here, says the Maharami Lublin, and the Shach, right? The Shach quotes the Maharami Lublin, meaning he doesn't quote anyone else. He quotes the Maharami Lublin to Paskin like him. And the Taz says the same thing, not here. Here the Taz doesn't explicitly address this, but it's Simon Sadi Vob Sifkatan. It's Sifkatan. Hey, I'll just read you a line in the Taz. You don't need to make any diukim. He's discussing the same case. Benerli Pashatim Yeshishim Ain Sarach Lahasir Habitzah. No need to remove the onions. It's not like a diuk apparel or whatever. It's discussing the exact same case. It says Ain Sarach Lahasir Habitzah. And the Shachs of the Kudus Gesef says, that's no chiddush. It's in the Maharam Lublin. I quoted it in the Shach, right? Sadi Dalit, Sifkatan Chav Gimel. I already told you that it's in Sadi Dalit. Okay, that's not being fair. His time wasn't I already wrote in the Shach, meaning the Taz never read the Shach. His time was already Maharam Lublin. Why are you saying the Sadi goes? Why are you saying is that I have a chiddush? Well, you don't have a chiddush. You should have quoted the Maharam Lublin. It doesn't matter. They all agree, right? So. Sadi Dalet, Chav Gimel, the Taz, Sadi Vav, Sifkatan Hey, all say the soup is kosher and the onions are kosher. You don't have to take out the onions. You can eat the chicken soup with the onions in this case. Again, I think that's the majority of the achronim. It's hard to count every single one. It seems to be the majority of the achronim. Okay, what's the svara? What would they say back to the crazy place? See? And anachronistically, they were before the crazy place. Crazy place says, are the onions fleishik? Avada, they're fleishik. They cooked in chicken soup. Are they milchik? Avada, they're milchik. They're cut with a milchik knife. So if they're fleishik and they're milchik, then they're treif. What is all the early achronim going to say back? Exactly. The blios of the chalav left the onions. You can't deny the onions are fleishik. But the blios of the chalav left the onions and went into the soup. Okay, this we'll see is big focus in front of me. Oh, what's the svara? The svara is that the blios chalav left the onions and dissipated into the soup. Right? Yeah, the onions were milchik. But then you cooked them in the soup. When you cooked them in the soup, said Rabbi Kiva Eger, said Rabbi Kiva Eger on this, on the Shach, he says, you know what? If they hadn't been cooked, they had just been soaked, then everyone would admit it's the crazy place. Because soaking doesn't get things out as well. Gets them out, but not very well. But cooking gets things out well, right? Cooking gets the blia taste out of the onion. You can cook the milky blias out of the onion. Not if it would be hanan. If it was hanan, it wouldn't help. Right? We're not talking about a case of hanan. If you have treif taste in the onion, no matter how many times you cook the onion, you're not going to make it kosher again. Because it's hanan. But if there's no hanan, the onion's just milky. Cooking gets the hanan out of the onions. Right? Cooking, not soaking. Says with your anger. Soaking is not accomplished, not as good as cooking. Cooking gets blios out of food. Cooking gets blios out of food. Right? Similar to, I would say, what do we know that cooking can get blios out? We know that boiling water can get blios out of? Out of pots. That's called koshering. Okay, so that's one process. Certain process called agola gets all the blios out of pots. Then there's a different process. This other process called cooking doesn't get all the blios out of onions. It just dissipates it proportionately. Like, for example, if the onions were 20 and the soup was 200, there'd still be a tenth of an ounce of milk blios left in the onions, right? Because it would 90% of it would go to the pot and 10% of it, or maybe 91%, 9%, whatever. I mean, it's not as good as Haggadah. Haggadah gets 100% out and leaves the kli empty of blios. No, cooking doesn't. I don't mean to say it's Haggadah. It doesn't get the blios out of food. It spreads it proportionally through everything. Cooking spreads the blios in the food evenly all over the stew. Right? So, again, we're not saying it's Haggadah. Ain't Haggadah ba'ochlin. You can never totally remove the taste. No matter how many times you cook the onions, you can't get all the milk taste out. You can just proportionally spread it around. If it's an 11th, 20 to 200 is an 11th, right? 20 out of 220. Then an 11th of the ounce will be left there, but that'll be less than a 60th. You know, an 11th compared to 20 is 1/220th, right? Kitzer, the milk taste will evenly spread throughout and be batel shishim, right? Dissipate into the soup, and it's batel shishim. So yeah, we didn't get all the meat taste out of the onions. But there's just as much percentage meat taste in the onions as there is in the rest of the soup. And that's less than a 60th. Therefore, the onions are now only fleishig and not milchik. That's the machlokes in the crazy placey and the earlier achronim.
The onion has a very odd meat. I'm saying the onions
become possible. There would be onions that absorb basar b'chalav, according to Gracie Placey.
But there wouldn't be
chana. Ah, you're saying, why wouldn't it then be chana? You're saying, once the onion absorbed basar b'chalav, according to Gracie Placey, one second. Now,
give me a second, because there is a dale like that. But according to Crazy Clacy, once this onion absorbed Vasar V'chalav, why wouldn't you say now the onion is Hanan? Certainly, he called Sherry from restaurant. Now the onion is Hanan. Now this Hanan, it'll aser the whole soup. Let me think about it for a second. You'd have to say either one of two things. Either you'd have to say, what else, the whole soup? That's a Riki Vega we're about to see. But Pashas, he doesn't agree with her Riki Vega. That Riki Vega is Mamash Das Yachid, not an even handed by focus. What you have to say is that it is Makusher to the whole stew, and therefore it's not Chanan. Oh, we know that Makusher is only Blian a Kli. A Blian of food is not Makusher. So you have to say, no, a Blian. I think this is what you have to say. A blian of food where machmir is not mekusher when you have a blia, when you're talking about combining the blia and the food. Over here, it's two blios inside an onion. When you have two blios inside an onion, meaning it's not a blia mixed with the onion. It's two blios inside the onion, then mixing with the onion. When it starts as two blios, then you say makosher and it doesn't become chanan. I think that's what you have to say. Say that again?
It's like the rework where it mixes in the rotev, so therefore chanan's not going to apply, but it's still not going to piece itself.
Aha, okay, although this is not exactly the Chumrah Ramah. The Chumrah Ramah is if at the time when it first entered, it was partially in the rotev. Here it entered 10 minutes ago, and then you put in the rotev. So it's not exactly the same. Maybe it's Levin, but maybe you're still right. Maybe you're still right. It's not Mukhrach, but maybe you're right. Okay, so there are more than one way to answer this question.
I think you're in the here, only there is entering
I hear what Yoni's saying. What Yoni's saying is that really, since it's in the Rotev, even the crazy placey really admits as a tzad to say, like the Myram Lublin, that it immediately dissipates throughout, which is basically the sheet of the re, Alpi the re. It's just that we are, well, exactly, meaning we're so much on the re, Bitseiruf in Chanan Bishari Suri, which is exactly where I'm out there. So over here, we're not saying Chanan by the onions, Bitseiruf, that re, but otherwise we would. Okay, you're saying well.
According to the other terms, in the shop, why, how are we so certain that the Leo's left for the meat within? Maybe the meat made it also before the
Ah, how are we so certain that it left beforehand? The answer is that we don't have to be certain it left beforehand because the post was says on, I think of the Kofim and Aleph, that big Tostos, that while the blios are still traveling, there's no chanan until we reach a stopping point. Chanan is only there's a stopping point. They finish traveling until you stir. Then we say chanan. But we say like this, even if the meat taste went into the onions before the milk taste left, again, we're getting to Riki Vega, let's forget it for now. Even if the, well, we have to repeat ourselves. Even if the meat taste went into the onions before the milk taste left, since the milk taste was on the way out of the onions, that's not Hanan, because it wasn't at equilibrium. You only say Hanan when it's at an equilibrium. If the milk is still leaving the onions, it's not Hanan, because it's still in the middle of leaving.
Well, I think you can't make
the scenario. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? This is a big machlokes. Ad hayom hazeh, this is a big machlokes. Nira lani is daiti, that I think if it was mamish onions below me basar, I'd be machmer like the crazy placey, after all the Orcha Shulchan is machmer like him, etc. If the onions were mamish, taken from a chulent, you know, or taken from whatever it case be, you know, if these were onions that were soaked in hot milk, and then you put them in your chicken soup, I'd be machmer like the crazy placey. But if the onion were just cut with a milchik knife, we'll see there's many tzadim and shitas that say the milchik knife doesn't really affect the onions. even though we don't normally pass like that, there's many other stuff in the hotel. We'll see. There's many shitas that say that the onion knife doesn't really make an onion inflation. And therefore, Nirolini's deity, if you ask me, Paskin, I guess we are. I'm teaching here. Listening. I would say we should Paskin like this. If the onions directly absorbed milk or meat, whatever the parallel case may be, and we should pass them like most achronim if they were only cut with a chalavi knife. Why? Because if they were only cut with a milk knife, there's many other tzadim l'hakel. What other tzadim l'hakel I haven't told you yet? But you will see with your own eyes, there's many subtle huckles. Matter in the normal case, there's a base mayor who says, but you ever always make on any onions cut with a milk knife. There even nowadays, there's some rabbi in YU who says, it's never a problem with the evidence if things are covered with a milk knife. There's so many subtle huckles. So that's not the majority shita nowadays. But if you have machlokas between probably majority of Achronim versus the crazy place in the Aruch HaShulchan, even though there are a lot of people like said the crazy place in Aruch Shulchan, the crazy place in Aruch Shulchan, Raya's we'll see much later in the year. Nonetheless, if you combine the stuff in the hakel of the chalavi knife, who says onions are milchik just to cut them with the milchik knife? Does it say that mefurish anywhere in Shas? No. It says things that are a little similar to that, and it might or might not mean that in Shas. Never says anywhere in Shas that if you cut an onion with a milchik knife, that's called a bli of milk. So maybe the onions weren't milking in the first place. And even if they were, maybe the Maran Lublin and the Shachin Taz are correct. After all, they were the original, the early Achronin. They're the basis of Minig Ashkenaz. The crazy place is only a later idea. And they knew the crazy place idea. And Tafka said, don't think that. So I think that's enough Southern Lahakel that I would not worry at all. I would personally eat these onions in such a case. But if the onions have milk, then I'd be nervous and I'd pass it like the crazy place. Okay.
If the onions are soaked in meat, b'shat dechak kui bisomeichan Rabbi Yaakov Emden that Rabbi Yonos on Abishitz was really a Sabadian, so we can hold like the shaft.
No. My general mahalach that even b'shat dechak we don't we're not somech on svaras of pasling other Jews, even b'shat dechak.
Okay. Another question.
As a matter of fact, it may very well be that we live in one big Shas HaChak where we have to kasher other Jews. Okay. Kach Nirolini is Daiti.
Another question?
Yes.
Why, when it came to the case of the Kaf Choleves, that was like in Gimel, and Saliyah Gimel, we said that.
Don't tell Rav Tversky and Rav Schechter what I just said. Okay, continue.
Why, in the case of Sadiq Daud Gimel, where we said the Kaf Choleves, we don't assume that the chalav is going to completely go into the whole entire mixture of basar, but when it comes to the batzal, all of a sudden we say that we assume that the blia dissipates throughout.
You said which sift did you start with?
In any case of when you put a kli inside another kli, we're always saying that we don't assume all the blias come out or at least dissipate throughout the whole mixture, and we assume like 1/60th stays inside and then 59/60th stays back inside.
Okay, so the answer is going to be because food is soft. First of all, by a kli, we would also assume that if you put it in boiling water that was proper koshering with all the rules of koshering, right? I mean, by kli, there's also a way to get all the blias out if you do the proper rules of koshering. Since onions are softer than a kli, therefore, even if it's not all the exact rules of koshering, we assume that it'll get the blea out of the onions. The basic answer is the onions are softer than kalim. That's the basic answer. Onions are softer than kalim.
And the same thing by a kadera. If you cook milk in a kadera, even if it's like nos tam lefgam or spatel b'shushim, we still assume that it's going to be, the blea is always going to stay inside. Well, let's say you cook the food for like hours and hours. Let's say you cook a pot of soup in there for 4 hours. I had some.
A kadera, we have masora that unless it's full of water and reaches the boiling point, it will not get all the taste out. But by food, the shach and the taz, the maraglin assume that as long as you cook it normally, that's good enough because food is softer. The ikker is that food is softer. We see many places in your idea. I'll point out a few more to you that since food is softer than kalem, that's sometimes a chumra, sometimes a kula. Right? Like, for example, the shach says, in a cliche, a spoon wouldn't absorb, but a food would because the food is softer. etc. The Shach says that according to Rama, if you poured Eroy onto a kli and a kli, it wouldn't get taste from a kli to a kli because that's hard. But from a kli to a food, it would because that's soft. So sometimes the chomer, sometimes the kula, since kalim are softer than foods, and since foods are softer than kalim, it's easier to get blios in and out of them. That's the yesod.
One more question. When it came to the blios of the knife, we said that we can never assume there's more blios than the knife itself. But didn't we say in the cases of the kedera also that we can assume one sixtieth stays inside and then the blios come back inside and then basically refill the blios and then continue and continue?
That's in the case of Hanan, because Hanan could create new iser. That was only in the case of Hanan. We would never say that if you're just cooking parv in a meat kli or meat in a parv kli. That's only in the case of Hanan. Because Hanan can create new iser more than there used to be. Right? Hanan is basically like one of these horror zombie movies. Right? You start with one zombie and you end up everyone's a zombie. Right? But over here, if there's no Hanan, then it doesn't matter. I lost the muscle at this point. But you get the point. You get the point. Okay, Rabosai. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger has another big chomer here. What's the big chomer of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Number one is machlokes in the kriyas. You place in the Maran Lublin. Now let's do the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and all the other poskim. What's machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and all the other? Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes a deal here, which certainly at first seems like a great deal. Meaning, if all you had was this one line, you lost your whole Shulchan Aruch and all you were left with is one page, then Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a good deal. I mean, again, it's not me criticizing Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You know, it's not that Rabbi Akiva Eiger missed the boat. He writes at the end, but I recognize that my deal is against everyone. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says, what was our case? Our case was you cooked in the Kedera Cholivis. Why didn't he say cooked it B'Cholav? Interesting question. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes a deal. You could say, because until now we've been talking about kederos and this and that. Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes a deal. He says, cook him b'kedera cholevis is mutter, but cook him b'cholav is aser. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. L'chora hayanira, although even he says l'chora hayanira. The dictum naka kain, l'nik the naka rubishli b'cholav, el demay b'kedera shel cholav, ein cholav b'kedera el dover acher. V'zehu d'mahani shishem neged abasar v'gam tzolom atzva mutter. The Lekachash, what does he say? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Big Chiddush. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. At least Lechora. He says, in this case, he says, the case I mentioned, it doesn't matter. This case is worse than Sadi Dalad Vav. Sadi Dalad Vav would be onions have Blias Chalav, and then you cook a vegetable soup in a Bisari pot. But that's not this case. Here you're putting it in chicken soup. What happened in this case? But in this case, what happens? The meat gravy enters the onion. Okay, the truth is that in this case, it's not going to be quite as bad as it sounds because it wasn't full of chicken. Let's say you made a pot of meatballs, right? Pot of meatballs, right? Make it worse. A pot of meatballs is similar to his case, right? Of a pot of milk, right? What would happen? His case of milk. But you can all handle translating it the opposite. Meat gravy enters the onion, becomes Hanan, leaves the onions, and how much? 20 of meat gravy enters the 20 of onions, becomes 20 of Hanan, and leaves the onions and makes all the meatballs trafe. Why? Because it's 20 to 200. There's no bit of a shishim. Right? 200 is not batel. Where does he get that from? Kuf Chesed Aleph. the milk enters the meatball, becomes hanan, goes out and asks the rest of the milk. Here, if you cook it, let's say it was cut with a fleshy knife and you put it in a pot of milk, or cut with a milking knife and put it in a pot of meatballs, then the meat gravy goes into these onions. The meat gravy in the pores of the onions becomes hanan because the onions are milchik. Then the meat gravy goes back out and trafes up the whole stew. He mentions that no one agrees with him. No one agrees with him. But it'd be interesting to apply this to the chicken soup. You'd have to do your math a little better, because what enters the onions? Not only the chicken gravy, also the other ingredients of the chicken soup. So it would get more complicated. But in that's where we can Eger's Chumrah. He says he makes a diyuk l'chora hayinirid. But he ends with, however, the Maharam Lublin doesn't sound this way, and neither does the Ramah, and neither does really anyone. No one sounds this way. What does everyone else sound like? But all the Achronim, all the Shara Achronim, all sound like, nope, whether it's in a Kedera Cholevis, here I'm mixing my metaphors going back, or in Chalav, it's Mutter either way. How do we know that? So I'll just tell you a few people who he mentions. The Ramah in Siman Sadi Hei Sif Beis. It's a Mefurish Ramah in Siman Sadi Hei Sif. Mefurish Ramah in Siman Sadi Hei Sif Beis. He says, if you have onions cut with a fleshy knife and achlo b'cholav, you mix them with milk, you need 60 keneged, the meat absorbed in the onions. Not keneged, the whole onions. Mefurish Ramah, who are these? Ramah Sadi Hei Beis says, Mefurish, not that way. He says, even if it's cooked in milk, you only need keneged the onions. The Maharam Lublin also says this. Okay, maybe in our shop we don't have the full quote of the Maharam Lublin. But if you look inside the Maharam Lublin, he says, even if it's cooked in milk, even if it's cooked in meat, makes no difference. Likewise, the Mechaber, in the beginning of Siman Sadi Vav, says that if you cut onions with a fleshed knife and you cook it with milk, you only need shishim, bishlam b'chalav, you only need shishim, can I get the meat, can I get the knife blade, not can I get the onions, and likewise the Taz there in Sukkot and Hay says the same thing. So, the Ramah, the Mechaber, Sadi Vav Aleph, they all say bishlam b'chalav. Right, the Maharam Lublin, the Taz, and Sadi Vav, Sukkot and Hay. Basically, everyone's against Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he himself admits, that's why he says L'chora. Everyone's against this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Why is everyone against this Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Why is everyone against this Rabbi Akiva Eiger? The simple shot is, okay, what's the svara? What's the svara for everyone to be against Rabbi Akiva Eiger? After all, he seems to have a good point. The meat gravy will go in the onions, become hanan, and then go back out. So, the svara is either lefi Maharam and the Shach and the Taz. It's easy to figure out the svara. Because the Tam Chalav leaves the onions, and therefore, it can't absorb meat gravy and become hanan, because the Tam Chalav leaves the onions. The Tam Chalav leaves the onions before it absorbs the meat gravy, or it's at least in the middle of leaving the onions before it absorbs. The meat gravy leaves the onions before it can absorb meat gravy and make it hanan. Okay. Either the Tam Chalav leaves so quickly it hasn't absorbed meat gravy yet, or better, the Tam Chalav's on the way out. The meat gravy's on the way in. There's no Hanan as long as something's on the way out and the way in. There's only Hanan once things are stuck where they are. Then they're Hanan, and then if you stir them, you have trouble. But there's no Hanan while something's traveling, there's no Hanan. There's only Hanan when you've reached an equilibrium. Okay, how about if according to the Crazy Place? The Crazy Place says the Tam Chalav never leaves the onions. So what would you have to say the feed the crazy placey? So this is basically a repetition of what we had before. The feed the crazy placey. What you have to say is that it's makosher. There's no chanan. Because again, makosher is a word not found in Gemara, not found in Rishonim, but they're going to like it because makosher, meaning the case in Daf Kof Ches was if you have a meatball with milk inside it, then that becomes chanan. It's not considered makosher. But if you have onions with meat and milk inside it, that's considered makosher. I put an asterisk here. Yoni would say, even according to the crazy placey, no, Yoni would not, Yoni's tying to the crazy placey would not work here. Okay, you just have to say it's makosher. So, because the crazy placey says the top hollow never leaves the onions, so why does the gravy go into the onions without chanan? The answer is because the gravy mixing the tam chol and the onion, a blia mixing with a blia, that's makosher to the rest of the pot and doesn't become chanan. Okay, I admit at a certain point these makosher halachos are a bit of a, different vias, when the echronim say them, when they don't. Okay, but I don't have anything just to say about that. We'll just have to accept them. Yes?
I have a question.
Okay, I'd like to just point out, we pass like the other, I know I'm passing like Rebbe Kivi Eger here. I know him, right? Someone, but everyone passes like everyone else, because even Rebbe Kivi Eger himself says, L'chor it would seem, but I recognize I'm against everyone. Yoni and then whoever was on Zoom. Look, we do find a case of chanan while things are moving in Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. If you just drop a meatball into chalav, boiling milk, the milk goes into the meatball, gets absorbed in the meatball, becomes chanan, and goes back out and answers the rest of the milk. That's a Gemara, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. So obviously there's some exception there. So it could be these two tchumim, these two areas of Allah are not exactly comparable. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not sure. Someone on Zoom have a question? Okay. Now.
Yeah. I had a question. I don't really understand Rebbe Eger. What's the difference between a Kedera Chulevet versus like a Tasho that's soaked in Chalav? Isn't that the same thing? You have to cook it in something, no?
No, what he's saying is this. Let's say you have fish and onions, and you cook them in vegetable soup in a milking pot. There's no milk to enter into the pores of the onions. Therefore, there could never be chanan inside the onion, because no milk can go into the onions, because there's no actual milk. But if you cook it in milk, there's actual milk that can go into the pores of the onions and become chanan. That's where Akiva Eger's chak. That to have chanan inside the onion, you need actual milk to go into the onion.
I don't understand what's the role of the Kedera?
I didn't hear you.
That doesn't seem to be. What does that have to do with our? No. I understand that. Rebbe Akiva Eger is very random. Our from the Shulchan Aruch isn't discussing onion. I mean, I guess it's talking about things that are dredged, but like. I don't understand what the diuk of the kedera is. In any event, you're going to have a kedera when you're cooking it, whether or not it doesn't make a difference. It seems to be that the shofar thinks it makes a difference.
Okay, it seems in a shemayim that you don't have a good question because your internet connection is very bad and it keeps going in and out, and I only heard like every third word. Okay. So it must be that your question is we'll figure out the answer in a shemayim. Okay, or you could just ask me. Oh, now you're better. You want to try once more?
I can ask you later.
All right. Now, let's just...
Another Zoom question. Hopefully this intro will be better. So we were talking about a case of meatballs, but if it was like, let's say someone asked you a question about chicken soup, so then what math do you have to do to figure out? I mean, let's say you hold like Rebbe Akiva Eger,
I don't hold my behavior, so it's not a problem, and I don't think any of the posts can do. Yeah, you always find someone, but not, you know, the mainstream posts can don't. But if someone would hold like Rudy Anger, they have to say, I think they have to say, what percentage of the 200 is chicken? And whatever percent, let's say the 200 was 10% chicken, then you'd have to say 10% of what enters the onion is chicken taste. And that 10% chicken taste would become Hanan, and therefore the 10% of onions is 2. 2 to 200 would be Gotel. But if 20% of the chicken soup was chickens, then it would be 4 to 200, wouldn't be Gotel. So you just say, not 20, but whatever percent of the soup is chicken. But we don't like it. Or halacha l'maisa, what does this mean for us? Let's just review. What this means for us is that if you cut onions with the wrong knife and then cook them in the wrong soup, then halacha l'maisa, as long as you have 60 keneged the knife blade, everything's kosher. Like for Rekubi Eger, it doesn't all become treif, and against the crazy place, we say even the onions themselves don't become treif. We're so mechon de maram miluplin and the shach and the taz, and say that it's all kosher. So if someone accidentally cuts with a onions with a milchik knife and cuts onions with a milchik knife and cooks them in a chicken soup or such, then everything is kosher. You can even eat the onions, bottom line. However, I'll just point out, you have to be careful how to apply this kula. That's if you cook them in a soup, because cooking dissipates the taste throughout. However, it's very different if you would, let's say, cut with a milchik knife and fry in a flashing pan. Then you're in trouble, because sometimes when people put onions in a soup, they first fry them by themselves. Because then you're frying them by themselves, and there was nothing to be bottled in. And now they're hanan, and now they make your whole soup hanan. So halacha l'maaseh, you just have to be careful. This all applies if it was cooked. But if it was cooked in liquid, which is what makes all the taste dissipate, but if, let's say, it was fried first by itself, then it's a big problem. If I cut with a milking knife, fry in a flashing pan, now it's not with anything else. There's no bitul b'shisha. Now it's milk and flesh. Now it's chanan. And then I add all the other ingredients and cook in the soup. Now I'm in trouble because the onions were already chanan. So you do have to be careful, see what happened. Or, for example, let's say I cut them with a milking knife and then I fried them in a flesh stir fry. Now they're not soaking in liquid. They're not. The time's not dissipating everywhere. Only cooking in liquid makes the time dissipate. Even if I don't fry them by themselves. I cut them with a milchik knife and then fried them together with noodles and vegetables and meat in a fleshik stir fry. Now it's all treif. Can't talk about bitul b'shishin because the onions were never soaking in the rotev. They're not soaking in the rotev. There's nothing to get the milk out of them. So they got meat taste. They never lost their milk taste. Now the onions became chanan and everything became treif. So this only works if you cut them with a knife and then cook them in liquid, which dissipates the taste. If you cut them with a knife and then grill them on a flashy grill, that's bad. Fry them in a flashy pot, that's bad. Even fry them with other ingredients, that's bad, because it's not soaking in liquid. So you just have to be careful how to apply this kula. For a standard chicken soup, it's fine. You just cut the onion, cut the top, cut the bottom, whatever it may be, and throw it in your chicken soup. Then you could be the evidence, it will be mutter because of this mechaber. But other cases might not be so poshut. Because it's all based on the fact that cooking gets the tam kolav out of the onion. That only works if the first thing you did after cutting it was soak it in liquid. Not if the first thing you did was transfer taste in a dry way. Because transferring taste in a dry way, or even soaking, said Rabbi Akiva Eiger, even kolosh, certainly tzli, would not get the tam out of the onion. Or would not get the tam dissipated out of the onion. It would just get enough out of the onion to ask for everything else, and not enough to match the onion. Okay, one last thing, which is the end of the Ramah. The kol shegein b'kedira shacholav shebishlo b'mayim toch me'es le'es, v'akgar bishlo b'basar, lo amrinan tzor g'shar negin kol amayim, rakning in cholav shebo l'hakedira. Obviously, this Ramah really is obvious. Sorry, let me just get this board. Okay, says the Ramah, this is obvious. I hope this really is obvious to us. Let's compare these cases. And then we'll deal with the shachas and cut and chaf beis, and we will call it a day. Let's imagine this case, right? Let's imagine this case. At 1 o'clock at Monday,
1 o'clock p.m. I cook. I cook treif. Monday at 9 o'clock p.m. I cook water. Okay, water and vegetables, like, who cares? You know. Then, Tuesday at 2 o'clock p.m., I cook my tavshil. Okay, what's the status of this tavshil?
It's treif.
It's treif. Treif, unless it has 60 times the water. Right? Because the water is Hanan. Because the water is Hanan. Okay. Now, that's not the Ramah. The Ramah says, what's the most obvious thing in the world? 1 o'clock p.m. Monday, I cook. I cook 1 ounce basar. 9 o'clock p.m. Oh, actually, here he's not dealing with. Sorry, I take that back. This is all Meis Leis. I don't want to mix up two cases. Okay, forget this. Let me do a little better. Let's say it's all Ben Yomo. Here I cook 1 ounce of treif, 3 ounces of water, 100 ounces of tasha. So in this case, it's aser because the water was Hanan. And therefore, you have 3 Hanan water pleos. 3 to 1 is not a 60 ratio, and it's mutter. But if I would have cooked 1 of basar, and then 3 of water, and then 100 of chalav, then it would be mutter because the water wasn't Hanan. The water wasn't Hanan, right? Because there's no Hanan Beheter. Not only wasn't the water Hanan, the water wasn't even really Fleisher, because it was not Barnata Teira. Right? That's the closest thing. Water wasn't Hanan, and was even not Barnata Teira. Okay. That's what Ramah says here.
Is where the third
one is. No, it's all Ben Yomo. In this case, everything's Ben Yomo. Now, what if the Shach discusses the Sukkot and Chav Beis, the Machlok seeing the Torah and the Beis Yosef, about what if you throw Ben Yomo in here? Let's just try to quickly hazard that for a second. Shach, Sukkot, and Chav Beis, Machlok is Torah and Beis Yosef. This is an important part. What's the case here? Monday, 1 o'clock p.m., Monday, 9 o'clock p.m., and Tuesday, 2 o'clock p.m. So if you would have treif, water, and kosher, then what would we say? What would we say? We'd say this water became Hanan. What does the Beis Yosef say? The Beis Yosef says that. Okay. Leman the Omar Hanan Bishari Surim. This water is now Hanan, and this is treif, because the pot is Ben Yomo from the Hanan water, right? The water itself became Hanan. That was only 17 hours ago. So 17 hours ago, called Hanan water is obviously treif. Pashut. What about Lamanda Amar Lo Amrinan Hanan Bishari Surim? This is the machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Tor. Same exact case. Treif, water. Kosher. Treif, water, kosher. Here is a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Torah. Says the Torah, and says the Beis Yosef. Says the Torah, it would be treif. Says the Beis Yosef, it would be mutter. Why do you mutter? Because the water is not chanan. The water is not chanan. Mutter, because the tam of the treif is lifgam. Right? It's been more than 24 hours since the treif and the water never became chanan. Says the Torah, it's still treif. This is the machlok the Shach deals with. The Torah versus the Beis Yosef, and the Shach is on the side of the Torah. Shach is the side of the Torah. Says the Torah, this is treif even without chanan. Why is this treif even without chanan? Right, because this water, you're right, it's not chanan, but this water is not barnat de isura. So, because the tam of the aser water is mishach, right, within 24 hours. Right, says the Shach, explaining the Torah, who cares this chanan b'shar isur or not? The water became treif. It's not barnat de isura. The water became treif, it's not barnat de isura. Once the water became treif, because it's not barnat de isura, now you cook treif water at 9 p.m. You cook treif water at 9 p.m., and then you cook your kosher at 2 p.m. It's only been 17 hours, and it's treif, because you have the taste of treif water. And he says, you, Beis Yosef, all of a sudden he accuses Beis Yosef of being stupid. Says, you Beis Yosef, what are you talking about? Who cares the water's not chanan? You think if the water's not chanan, the water's kosher, and it's totally okay? No, it's still not barnat to isura. The water's still treif. How could you Beis Yosef call this water kosher? I know it's not chanan, but it's not kosher. It's still treif. What does it mean it's not chanan? Not chanan means you don't measure the size of the water. You measure the size of the treif that's in the water. Okay, but that's still a lot. So that's the machlokes between the Shach explaining the Torah versus the Beis Yosef. If you're Sfardi, there's no Hanan in the water, would you say, well, then the water can't make your kosher food treif 17 hours later because it wasn't Hanan? The Shach says, explaining the Torah, says, what are you talking about? Of course it makes your food treif. The water's still treif. It's not Hanan. It's still treif. Let's take numbers, right? Let's imagine numbers. How much treif was there? 100. How much water is there? 100. How much kosher do you cook now? 100. Everything's 100. Full pots each time. So full pots each time. Then, who cares the water wasn't chanan? It still got the bliya of 100 ounces of treif in it. So it still counts as treif. The question is how to defend the Beis Yosef that he wasn't stupid. Right? Before the Beis Yosef wasn't stupid. Not before. Right? What was the Beis Yosef thinking? So there are two ways to defend the Beis Yosef. The Prichadash and the Dogma of Rav. The Dogma of Rav is on the page. The Prichadash is not on the page. Question of Shach. Still has tam of treif in it. I know the word is not chanan, but it's still the tam of treif. And that tam of treif goes into the Kedemra. Let's review the Shach's question. The Shach's question is that at 9 o'clock p.m., what happens? The Tam Isser goes into the Mayim, then goes back into the Kedemra. Now, the Kedemra is Tam Isser. It's not Chanan, right? But the Tam Isser goes into the Mayim, goes back into the Kedemra. Oh, it's many steps. Not Barnabas. Who cares? The Surah. Right? And therefore, so the Kedera gets Tam Isser at 9 o'clock p.m. If the Kedera gets Tam Isser at 9 o'clock p.m., then 17 hours later, it's still Ben Yobo. And don't say you only got a taste of a taste of a taste of a taste of Tam Isser. Who cares? In Isura, I don't care if it's the 100th step. It's still just as Isser. There's no not bar not.
He makes Beis Yosef look stupid. How do you defend the Beis Yosef? There are two ways to defend the Beis Yosef. One based on time and one based on volume. How do you defend the Beis Yosef? Answer for Beis Yosef. One is the Prechadash. Says the Prechadash, you know how 24 hours in a pot makes a pogrom? Says the Prechadash, 24 hours in a pot makes a pogrom, even if that happened in two different episodes. Says the Prechadash, but the 24 hours, he says like this, of Pgam doesn't have to be, how do you say Ratzof in English? What? No, in a row, like all at once.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be continuous. Hey, it's not a fair question. It depends on the context when using the word Ratzof is, so it's not your fault. I knew the context of it, you didn't. Doesn't have to be continuous. What is he saying here? He's saying from 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., you got 8 hours of spoilage. From 9, it's the same time answer, from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock p.m. Okay, let's say you cook for an hour, right? You cook for an hour, right? Let's assume you cooked it for an hour. I don't know. Let's say you cooked for 5 minutes, right? Cook the water for how long take to boil water? 10 minutes? From 9 to 10, right? You boil water for 10 minutes. How long take to boil water? However long. Who cares? 9:30. You cook for half an hour. You have another 16 and a half hours of spoilage. Okay, total 24 and a half hours. So it's time of gum. It was 8 hours sitting in the pot. Then it came back into the water for half an hour. Then went back in the pot for another 16 and a half hours. How is that 24 hours? Says the Prechadash against everyone else. That's 24 hours. It counts as tam lefgam, even if the 24 hours was not continuous. Okay, so that's why. Because anachanami, the water was treif. Anachanami, the tam isser made the water treif. Then the tam isser went back to the kedera. But you don't restart the clock. You continue the clock where it was. It was 8 hours worth spoiled. It was a third spoiled. A third spoiled taste went into the water. A third taste that's a third of the way to being spoiled went back in the pot. Then the next two-thirds of the time passed, and it's spoiled. That's the Prechadash. Says the Dogon Mervava, who's on the side here, or in the back, says Dogon Mervava Tumyana. He says, nope, it's not based on time, it's based on volume. Lefi Cheshvon. What do I mean by Lefi Cheshvon? Now, he makes an assumption. How big are the walls of the pot? How big are the walls of the pot? Let's say 10. Again, you could say it wouldn't work out, right? Depends how thick the pot is, right? If, let's assume the pot technically just has to be 16, but 10 will make it easier, is 10 ounces. The pot itself, you know, the pot itself, the dofnak there is 10 ounces. Then what happens? Let's just make ourselves a little embassy here. What happens at 1 o'clock p.m., Kedera absorbs 10 ounces of Tam Isser, right? Because the Kedera can't absorb more than how big it is. What happens at 9 o'clock p.m.? The water is 1/10 Tam Isser. The water gets 1/10 of Tam Isser. Now it goes back into the Kedera. How much goes back into the Kedera? 1/10 Tam Isser and 9/10 Tam water. So therefore, the Kedera absorbs 10 ounces of Ta'am, which includes 1/10 Tam Isser. The Kedera gives, worst case scenario, all the Tam Isser goes into the water. The water becomes 1/10 treif. Now, all the time of the water gets absorbed back in the Kedera. The Kedera absorbs 10 ounces of water, 1/10 with its treif. So how much Tam treif is that? Which is only 1 ounce of Tam Isser. Now, you can finish the story. At 2 o'clock p.m., 1 ounce.
accounts of Tom Isser in the Kedera is not enough to answer your top shell, because now it's 1 to 100. Technically, even if it had been 16, it would have been okay. Because that would be in 16 100s. 16 100s of 16 100s is going to end up being less than a 60th. Okay. That's the Dugmar Rizkot based on the Fichejman. He says, if you work it out, all you need is for the ratio of the pot to the food inside to be less than the square root of 60. Right? Because you just get to multiply it twice. So he says, that's why it's no problem according to Beis Yossi. That's why Beis Yossi wasn't crazy. And Hanami makes his water treif. It only makes it a tenth treif. And then Hanami, the water goes back and makes the Kedera treif again, but it only makes the Kedera tenth treif. If the Kedera is 10 and it's a tenth treif, that's only one of treif. One of treif is a bottle, one in 100. That's the chap of the Dogu Merfafa. Okay, the Prima Gadim here goes through every single Achron and tries a new diet who holds from this far of Lufi Cheshbon and who doesn't hold from this far of Lufi Cheshbon. Well, Mike, so the modern day post can assume that we hold from this far of Lufi Cheshbon in this case. I think that they do not mostly agree with the Prichadash, but they do agree with the Dogu Merfafa. We agree with the Dogu Merfafa. Lamaisa, in this case, we would agree with Beis Yosef. It could be the Shach doesn't disagree, he just doesn't think that's the right Okemta. This is an assumption. Right? Because if the pot was 20 ounces, it wouldn't work. Right? So the Shach doesn't necessarily disagree with the Dogu Merfafa. He might just say, who says that the numbers work out? Who says how big the pot is? They had big, thick pots in those days. When you make pots of Cheres, they're thicker than when you make them stainless steel. And if you work out the math, pots have more volume than you think in the walls of the pots. As I pointed out, like the barrels you put wine in are actually even more than a sixth of the wine. So, not so crazy. Anyway, okay, Lamaisa, though we think the Dogmar Vav was a good hesber for the Beis Yosef, the reason why the Beis Yosef thought that without Hanami it wouldn't be a problem is because in a Hanami there'd be treif taste. With the treif taste, we bought the Shishin because of the Fichesra. Okay, maybe we'll call it a day now. We'll have to push off Sif Zion for Tuesday, Meretz Hashem. And if anyone has questions, feel free to ask. If not, then feel free to continue our Seder time.
I thought that Notin Town, the Fagam, doesn't apply to Treif. Isn't that what the Shaf says?
No. Where does the Shaf say that?
In Chavdet.
No, I think what he meant there is that... I have to find the line. But maybe they tell me if this is what he meant. What he meant is that if you hold no, Tam Luf Gam doesn't apply to treif. He says not bar not doesn't apply to treif, because not bar not the Yisurah. Yeah, it's not bar not that doesn't apply to treif. Not bar not only works for a Tevra, not for a Yisurah. But Tam Luf Gam applies to treif. If I have a pot that my Goyish neighbor cooked 1,000 hams in every day of her whole life except for today, and tonight I cook my dinner in it, my dinner, I shouldn't do it, but once I cook it, my dinner is totally 100% kosher. Even the Badatz Eid HaRegis would eat it. they might be machmer because I cook the dinner in Sachshah Special Akim, but they wouldn't be machmer because of the ham. No.
Okay, thank
you. I shouldn't talk not nicely. Yeah. No, the truth is that it's a little. If I did that on purpose, then they might not eat it, because then there'd be a knas against me. But if I did by accident, then I think they would. Yeah.
I have a few questions.
Yeah, one second. Let Sasha ask.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, that's the trick with onions. With onions, there's no heter of time with God. It would have to, like, you took a lasagna out of the oven and cut it, which is not such a crazy scenario.
Right.
That's why I was clevish on the outside lettuce bowl. These things happen, I assume. Right? I assume people take lasagnas out of the oven and cut them. So it's not so crazy. In Mary Willing's house, he said, no, he doesn't think they ever did that. At least not with this knife. You know, they had different kinds of knives for different things. It could very well be that some might have some dairy knives in their kitchen that are not totally dairy that Ikrit in. Again, l'chachila, we'd assume if you do anything, it's dairy, etc. But like the Ikrit in dairy, it could be that depends. If I have a lot of dairy knives, maybe no. This, I would never cut hot like Mamish in the Kli Rishon, you know, Yatza Lettuce Bowl with this knife. Could be, but it could be that you would.
Yeah.
If I cut onions with a dairy knife and cook them in a pyre pot. So if I cook them in a pyre pot and spots with shishim, etc., then obviously it's not going to be a problem. Even a fleshik pot would make them. Certainly in a pyre pot. But let's say I would cook onions with a fleshik knife or milk knife and then fry them by themselves in a pyre frying pan. That is a famous machlokas. That is a famous machlokas between the Magen Avraham, the Ibn Ozer, with Chavos Das, having another in between opinion that we'll get to. That's the famous machlokas Magen Avraham and Ibn Ozer. The Magen Avraham is obviously not on the page here, but the Ibn Ozer is. Okay, Binyamin Shlita.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear someone else ask a question. We mentioned earlier in Shiras, actually the bottom left of the board. We said that the Shachs twice said that there's a minog that the minog of the Chumrah of Alma is only Viksas Mekomos. So the first time we mentioned that Shach was in the context of whether you could eat this food with the other type of Kli.
Right.
And then what was the Svar we gave, the other Svar we gave that Shach said was that we don't want people to get confused, and then in the end of the day, do this in the case of when you have two Benyomo Kalim, right?
Right.
So then why does that make it different than Sadi Hey Gimel? I mean, so why didn't Sadi Hey Gimel say that? Is it because that was dishwashing, so no one's going to ever eat that? Is it the same as far as we said the next time?
Good question. So that's what we said. We didn't really have a great answer to according to the Shach, and that's why we brought in the Taz. Meaning,
no, I'm saying the first time that we said that.
The first thing is that how you eat the food. In dishwashing, you don't eat the water at all. You throw it in the garbage, so it's a non-issue. Okay.
So it was about because over here we're eating it.
Yes. And then in the second time, there was a little trickier why, and that's why we brought in the Taz. Maybe the Shach had some other thing in mind. I don't know.
But that was the same Svara, that we're over here eating it, over there not eating it.
Yeah, but the second question was about the status of the Kalim. Why should the status of the Kalim depend whether we're eating the food or not? Right, okay. That's what the Taz made the status. The Kalim depend on the food. That was his chak. And the Shach, we're not sure.
Okay. Next question was, the pre-Chadash recorded at the end, how is that going to help the Beis Yosef? Because the Beis Yosef said explicitly that because it's Nochanan Shari Sturm, it's going to solve the problem. So the Dagom Revava, it makes sense, because since it's Nochanan, then the Cheshbon will work out. But according to pre-Chadash, then that's not the reason the Beis Yosef said it's because it's Nochanan Shari Sturm. So why is it not?
If it would have been Hanan, then the water itself would have become treif, not just the time in the water. And the water itself didn't already have 8 hours of spoilage.
Uh-huh.
If you would say Hanan, not just the time in the water is treif, the water is treif, and the water has no spoilage yet.
But according to the Bichodash, it doesn't really matter if it's a new Hanan, it's still the same time as it was before.
No, but if there's Hanan, then forget about the time. The water itself is treif, even besides the time Isser inside it.
Uh-huh.
And if the water itself is treif, even besides the time Isser inside it, then the water itself is treif, and the water itself is still fresh, because it hasn't been in the Kli yet.
Okay. And also, in the case of when you cut the onion with a milky knife and you fry in the pan first, that's only if it's Benyomo. I mean, if it wasn't Benyomo, then that's not going to mean, then...
That's, even if it's not Benyomo, we'll see later on that by onions, there's no heter of any Benyomo.
Oh, wow. Onions are pretty scary.
They're so... Yeah, okay, that's why
things
are scary.
I saw the Shach mentioned it here in Saudi. Right, yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good day. Or evening, rather. Yes, 1 second, let me just turn this off.